Roberts.
Diolch yn fawr iawn i chi. Mae'n bleser mawr gen i fod yma heddi pnawn yn Montreal. Dwi'n diolchgar iawn i chi am wahodd fi yma, ac mae'n syndod i fi faint sydd gennym ni sydd yn gyffredin rhwngtho ni yn sefyllfa ni yng Nghymru a sefyllfa chi yma yng Nghebec yn edrych ar ôl siaradwyr Saesneg ac hefyd yn weddill Canada i gymharu o safbwynt paratoi gwasanaethau ar gyfer siaradwyr Ffrangeg. I'm delighted to be here. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was just saying in Welsh, how delighted I am to be here this afternoon. It's a great pleasure and I'm really, really thankful to you for the opportunity. I can't tell you how much parity there is between the situation here and the things that I've heard today, and also had the experience of being fortunate to visit Canada last year to Ontario and worked with CNFS and looked at the situation there in terms of the challenges, in terms of developing and providing French language services in the rest of Canada as well. So the kind of things that we're talking about here are the personal experiences, the harrowing experiences that people actually find themselves in when they come across language barriers in healthcare and the implications for them. And also the challenges for health services in terms of issues around recruitment, deployment, training. We've heard all of these concepts over the last 2 days. The health disparities and the challenges in terms of collecting data to enable services to start planning provision. I'm just going to pull this mic up. I know I'm short, but not quite that short. Okay, so somebody mentioned a flipped discussion earlier on, and I guess that what I have for you here is a kind of flipped inverse situation from Wales. As you will imagine, I'm talking here about the Welsh language, the Celtic original language as the indigenous language of Wales and the minority language. So I need to put my specs on now. Okay, just to say, particularly, you know, the presentations, they were brief yesterday, but I was very fortunate to have an opportunity to go around the posters and talk to individual speakers, and I will certainly be getting in touch with many of you, because I think some of the projects that you have are really, truly inspiring, and I would hope that, you know, we can take some of those ideas and even work with you in time to come. I hope that explains why I'm here, because I thought I may have to justify my existence here in the conference, being rather an outsider and feeling an outsider. But as I say, although the contexts are different, the commonalities are huge. So for those of you who may be unfamiliar with Wales, it's one of the four countries that make up the UK. And like Canada, Wales has two official languages, and these include English and Cymraeg. That's the Welsh indigenous Celtic language of Wales. And we have about 500,000 Welsh speakers living in Wales, representing 19% of its population of 3 million. Now you can kind of put the perspective there, how many times you could fit Wales into Quebec, I'm not sure. Now, although the greatest proportion of Welsh speakers live within the rural heartlands of the north and the west, the numbers have increased over the years amongst the urban areas of the southeast. And we also are in a situation where the percentage of children aged between 3 and 15 who speak Welsh has increased dramatically over the last few years due to increased investment in Welsh medium education. So this kind of gives you a feel of what the needs are out there in terms of healthcare provision. Now, despite its current vitality, the Welsh language was subject to centuries of oppression in the face of English rule that led to its marginalisation from the public domain. And as a result, Welsh speakers share common experiences with other minority language speakers, and some of those experiences I've been listening to very carefully today. Kind of things like discriminatory attitudes, feelings of language oppression, issues around reduced access to healthcare in their own language. And this can obviously be particularly detrimental in the face of the added vulnerability associated with accessing healthcare. But the Welsh language is now enduring a period of revitalisation supported by legislative and policy initiatives introduced by the devolved government of Wales. We have a Welsh language commissioner. We have a new strategic framework for the Welsh language and health and social care provision. And we have a colleague Cymraeg Cenedlaethol. And that's the new virtual All Wales higher education college Welsh medium for not just for healthcare studies but for all studies in higher education. Now, just a little bit about the situation in terms of Welsh speakers and the notion of bilingualism in Wales, which is quite particular. So although most Welsh speakers also speak English, there are important exceptions, and these have a significant bearing on the delivery of language-sensitive healthcare services. For example, preschool children from Welsh-speaking homes tend to have a limited grasp of English, whilst older Welsh speakers, you'd call them seniors, are more likely to revert to using Welsh in later life. Hence, you can see the parity. Even those such as myself, who are generally fluent in both languages, may temporarily lose their command of English in stressful situations. And this can impact dramatically on the accuracy of assessment and quality of ongoing treatment and care. And like many bilinguals, we are invisible. Our needs, our language needs are invisible. Now, we know that global evidence shows that acting in a sensitive way to language and cultural diversity improves health and reduces inequalities. So in the bilingual context of Wales, responding to language needs is seen as the essence of good practice, particularly for vulnerable groups. A lot of mention being today and yesterday about mental health service users. We're looking at people with learning difficulties, young children, older people, a huge spectrum, really, of vulnerable groups. And providers in Wales have a statutory responsibility to offer services through the medium of Welsh as well as English, giving equality to both languages. And hence the difference, maybe, we don't have designated providers. So it's a huge challenge for all providers across Wales to actually to be able to deliver on that. So as in Quebec, there are many challenges in responding to the needs of minority speakers, and this can place them at a real disadvantage in healthcare. I'll just give you a little bit of an example, really, of the kind of evidence that we've been trying to collate and synthesise recently, or spanning, really, the last 20 years or so, I guess. Our work has been focused on enhancing and implementing the evidence base for the delivery of Welsh language services through working with practitioners, with educationalists, health researchers, and even policymakers. For example, building on early qualitative studies and government-commissioned surveys, we were able to establish an empirically derived model for language and cultural competence, which we've been using in the nursing curriculum. And this early evidence has also influenced the development of language awareness training for the healthcare sector across Wales. Evidence synthesis led to the development of a theoretically based framework to embed language awareness across the whole research process, and that's across clinical areas now, as well as a whole system approach to bilingual provision in nurse education that underpins the All Wales strategic plan of this new colleague Cymraeg I was referring to earlier. More recently, we've been studying bilingual code switching in pharmacy consultations and its impact on health discourse, with a view to enhancing communication skills training for the bilingual setting. Another aspect of our work which is important here is the linguistic and psychometric validation of Welsh language measures, of patient-reported outcome measures, where collaboration clearly with practitioners and service users is fundamental in gaining consensus. Now, what about the barriers then? When a recurring theme that emerges from this work is the way that individual, organizational, strategic, and contextual factors all impact on language-appropriate practice. So implementing the active offer principle that's inherent in our new strategic framework for Welsh language healthcare services means that organisations will inevitably need to adopt a whole system approach that takes account of these individual perspectives as well as contextual and organisational barriers and facilitators. So whilst research can be focused at all these levels, and indeed is focused at all these levels, to provide evidence of what works best, at the same time, we feel we need to engage with practitioners, managers, and policymakers, thank you, to enhance the way they receive and implement the evidence and actively involve service users and communities in driving service improvements. So how can we respond to these challenges in knowledge translation? Well, we need to think about the nature of the evidence. The evidence to inform organisational planning for language-appropriate services is complex and it's fragmented. Systematic reviews don't always tell us the whole story about complex interventions. We filter out the evidence very often, particularly concerning why it is that interventions don't work and in what context. Organisational cultural competence frameworks, such as, for instance, the US class standards, really are limited in their application in the Welsh healthcare context. So for this reason, we've started working, and I say started, working with implementation science colleagues at Bangor University to find ways of building theory around embedding language awareness into healthcare organisations to determine what works best for whom and in what context. And adopting a realistic evaluation approach, we're interested in examining causality as well as the outcomes of an intervention. Implementation research thus offers methods to promote the systematic update of evidence into practice and service delivery. Now, a common method is a systematic participatory approach where researchers and practitioners work together through a series of cycles or work packages to explore concerns and issues. And we have one project that we're coming to very close to the end of the project, actually. It's called the ELAN project, and it really exemplifies this approach. And I'm just wondering if I've got time to go through it, and I probably haven't. Very quickly, though, it's about fostering evidence-based change, and it was looking at ways of working with champions within an organisation, synthesising the evidence, the global evidence, applying the evidence to set standards, auditing the standards then across the workforce to generate evidence-based interventions that filter language sensitivity across the organisation. And for those of you who are interested, I'm very pleased to talk about that project later. So, whilst this may be a way forward to close the gap between research and practice, and certainly we've got a lot of work to do in other areas to try out these methods, we still need to be looking at what works best in terms of engaging with service users about language-appropriate practices. Now, the sense of community, not that we don't have a sense of community in Wales, but slightly different here because our communities are not as remote as they are in Quebec, we don't have designated providers, if you like, so there are differences here. And just to talk a little bit about, in Wales, patient and public involvement is high on the agenda in the National Health Service. It's central to service planning and provision, and it's a major driver for service improvement. And organisations are reminded of their statutory responsibilities to ensure that Welsh speakers are represented and to be sensitive to their language needs. But I would argue that it's questionable as to what degree these measures are instilled by organisations. What is the extent of patient and public involvement on Welsh language issues? What's the level of access and empowerment felt by Welsh speakers across Wales to engage in such activities, particularly through the medium of Welsh? In other words, are the right questions being asked to the right people in the right way in the context of public engagement? And the more general debate continues as to what is the appropriate level of engagement and what's its impact, what's the evidence about its impact of on patient and, of patient and public involvement on healthcare improvement. Even along with these service improvement initiatives, public involvement also features highly in clinical research. And we have within the National Institute for Social Care and Health Research Clinical Research Centre an arm, a particular arm for public involvement. And we've made some inroads here in terms of designated resources and training, as well as deploying service user reps to research project advisory groups on the basis of language requirements. But the same general debate obviously still raises its head. So clearly, further work is needed in order to establish ways in which we can improve the quality of this involvement process. And we feel that the realistic approach offers a valuable way of capturing this explanatory evidence in terms of answering questions about what works best. So maybe a message at the end for ourselves is that we need to urge researchers to build in realistic evaluations into research projects. And I think I better leave it there.